families for this time. We thank you, Lord, that when we fail, you're there to pick us up. When we run out of steam, run out of energy, run out of what it takes to make it through life, you are there to help us through in everything. Or when we fall short, the greatest is in achieving your glory, measuring up to your standard. And we thank you that Jesus was there to go to the cross, to close that gap and reunite us with you. Lord, we pray for the next few moments that you would bless us. We pray for the group on their way to Puerto Rico right now for safe travels and just a spirit-filled week where they will be used and see you in new ways and bless those around them. God, most of all, Lord, we pray that you would prepare our hearts now to hear what you have to say to us so that we might bless those in our midst as well. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do. For it's in the name above all names that we gather, we sing, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, the backstory on the whole children's church thing is little Connor was here at 8:30, but he didn't get to stay in children's church. He got brought back in here and sat with Daddy. So I don't know what the details were. So evidently his wings have been clipped this morning. But we did send a group of 20 people off very successfully. They met here at 2 o'clock this morning. And you know, I was told that the last person to get here, 20 people went to Puerto Rico this morning, the last person to get here was here at 2:03. These people go to Cornerstone, right? So my response was, we need to do more things at that time of day, evidently, because people get here on time. But they made it to Raleigh just fine. They made it to Atlanta just fine. And they should be getting on the plane to go to San Juan here in just a few minutes. Please remember them in your prayers. I promised you last week that we would talk to you dads today. We gave you a little gift of a nice pen and said mark down the date next week that we would challenge you as fathers. But all of us as Christians, okay, this is out of God's Word. So it's edifying and upbuilding to every single one of us, but specifically dads is who we're going to concentrate on today. And that we would challenge you, but also we would equip you and encourage you to be the man, to be the Christian, to be the husband and father that God has called you to be. Now, I know what some of you is probably thinking. What is he going to tell me about being a dad? He's only been doing it a little over a year. I hear you. I am 99.4% clueless on the subject thus far. Now, I'm learning something every day. So I have spent this week, and even before that, but a lot of time this week in prayer about the subject. I've spent a lot of time studying God's Word and the writings and speakings of people who are worldwide authorities on the biblical subject. And so I'm going to bring to you what they have taught me this morning. And so this is not coming from my heart, but from the heart of God. What if I had told you, or if I were to tell you, that I was going to give you an investment piece of advice, some fiscal advice, an investment tip that was guaranteed to make you a huge profit? What if I coaxed you here this morning with a promise of advice that just absolutely cannot fail to produce security and happiness for you and your family? You'd been here, right? Amen. You'd be here and you'd listen. Of course, we'd be a little skeptical because we've all heard that one before. But what I want you to know is, inside God's Word, which is where we're going here, inside God's Word is some advice, some commands, some tips, some things to follow that if you and I will invest in the right things, in the right ways, at the right times, if we'll make that investment, make that sacrifice, it cannot fail. You cannot go wrong. So what we get today, if we will invest it, it will pay dividends. It will pay huge things. It will bring you exactly what we're looking for. Happiness and security. All that in mind, we're going to talk to you dads. And we talk about before, obviously, how the media and society portrays
fatherhood today. I mean, you look at any television commercial or any show that's on TV now, 100% of the time it seems like the dad is the bumbling idiot, and the mom is the one that has her ducks in a row, the smart one of the two, the one that really knows what's going on. You can't find anything on TV that's not like that, or even on the internet or in books or all that sort of thing. This whole generation is growing up with a non-heroic view of fatherhood. And it doesn't have to be that way. I want to speak to you moms just for a minute before we really get started. Now, a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago on Mother's Day, I made the statement that for moms and for women, a very real biblical part of your biblical value is in the way you keep your home. And I instructed the dads, you know, to be helpful and not harmful to that thing. Here's what I want you to understand. Moms, a very real part of his biblical value under God, of a man's biblical value under God, is in his role as the leader. All right? As the leader. It's very real. It's very important that we understand that. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is, don't take that away from him. Don't usurp that role. You can't take God's role away from God and not be sinning against him. I want you to know we can't take dad's role, the man's role, away from him without being sinning against God either. He needs to be the leader socially. He needs to be the leader financially. He needs to be the leader emotionally. He needs to be the leader in all things, and especially spiritually. He needs to be the leader. He needs to be perceived as the leader. He needs to be regarded that way. So moms, make sure that he is. Don't take on that role. Now listen, if he won't take it, and there's a lot of men that won't, that absolutely will not fulfill their role, then somebody's got to do it. But what happens all too often is the woman steps in and takes that role, demands it, and in order to just keep the peace, dad goes on passive, okay? He just lets it happen so as that we can just keep the peace in the home and in the family. I want you to know this morning, biblically, his significance is in his calling to be the leader, so let him do it. But let's talk about why. Let's start with why, dads. Why am I a father? Why did God give me this role? Why did God create the role of fatherhood to start with? To find answers, turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 3 is where we're going to be this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, it'll be on your screen, but I want you dads particularly, everyone especially, but you dads particularly, to pay very close attention to the wording and the phrasing of what's being said here. It's just chock full of strong advice, good words that we need to hear, especially as fathers and husbands. Pay very close attention. I'm going to start in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, and read down through verse 21. Dads, pay very close attention to every single word. As Paul writes, as the father and the leader of the church in Ephesus, he writes this. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I'm less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. There's a lot of things in that. We're going to cover as much of it as we can this morning. But we ask the question, why am I dad? Why did God create fatherhood? What is the purpose in it? Verse 14 says, and 15 says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Let me tell you, that's a loose, rough translation, but basically what Paul was writing in Greek was that fatherhood on earth is derived from fatherhood in heaven. In other words, fatherhood on earth is a representation of fatherhood in heaven. Bottom line, number one, first thing you need to know this morning. Fatherhood on earth was created by God in order to introduce to the next generation who God is. Why am I a father? Fatherhood was created by God to show the next generation God and who He is. He's a loving provider. He's a protector. He's an example. He's a leader. He has integrity. All these things that you and I are supposed to be for our children because He is for His children in order to introduce to them who God is. In other words, you are a dad to show your children, I don't care how old they are, whether they're 5 days or 55 years old, you are a father in order to show your children the love of God. That's why. In order to do that, you've got to know who God is. You have to know who God really is. You have to know Jesus Christ, His Son, in a close and personal way. Let me tell you what that means. That means regular, intentional, purposeful, sacrificial attendance at church so that you can know. Not just for the whole purpose of just making sure that they're here. Not just for the purpose of marking it off my list, and I've done it this week, or being seen present there, not for religious or traditional purposes, but regular, sacrificial, intentional attendance at church for the purpose that you would be discipled, for the purpose that you would be nurtured, for the purpose that you would be taught about what it means to be a man of God and a father. Learning what it takes. Remember, if you're going to show them who God is, you're going to show them what He looks like, you've got to know something about that. On Sunday morning, God's not sitting at home in a recliner. On Sunday morning, God's not golfing or fishing. He's here. And one thing you can show your children is, if it's my role to show you who God is, let me show you where God is today. If He's there, then I'm going to be there. Amen? If God's not going to go through the motions, then I'm not going to go through the motions. You cannot go and show if you do not know. A few things about how we're going to show our children and our grandchildren, show the next generation who God is. First piece of advice we get from this passage this morning is to engage your wife, engage your kids, engage your family. Don't be absent physically, don't be absent emotionally, don't be absent spiritually. Alright? In too many cases, we've got a situation where dad's not there. It's a shame. Now, we don't have that going on a lot in this community as in most. Praise God. But there's too many cases where dad's not there. And I'm not talking about a situation where he's out having to earn a living to provide. I'm just talking about a situation where he's just not there at all. That's a shame. But also, in too many cases, even though dad is physically there, there are too many cases where he's not removed from the home, but dad is removed within the home. He's not engaged. He's not actively involved in what's going on. Here's what happens when we do that. Listen to me very carefully. When we're not engaged, the kid's view of the Heavenly Father becomes, well, he probably doesn't really care that much about me. He's really not interested in my daily life. Because they see that Dad isn't. And it ruins their spiritual perspective. However, having a godly father increases their view of the Lord. All right? It increases their belief in their own personal value that God loves them because they've been shown that. That God has a plan for their life because they've been shown that. And that He cares very deeply about their daily life and their walk. I'm going to give you a few statistics this morning, but none is more striking than the one I'm about to give you. Statistics tell us that kids are 20 times more likely to stay in church and stick with their faith if their dad is the spiritual leader of their home and pouring out that faith into their lives. 20 times. It's time to correct that course. God is actively engaged in you and your life. You may not be plugged into Him. You're not being engaged in what He's doing. Let me tell you something. He is interested. He's interacting. He is engaged with you. And so, dads, we got to be engaged with our kids to show them how God is. You can have all the very best traditional, conservative, religious rules and regulations and values in your home, but if you don't have the heart of your children, then they are not going to listen to you. They're going to listen to someone that they think really cares about them. Most of the time, if dad's not engaged, it doesn't matter what his views are. It doesn't matter what his values are. They're going to listen to their friends. On the other hand, if a dad captures the heart of his children and he can speak into their lives because he's engaged with them and he knows what's going on and he's gotten involved with them, then they'll listen. And they'll listen to what he teaches them. So in order to engage, the next step we've got to do is we've got to be approachable. We've got to be approachable to our wives. We've got to be approachable to our kids. All right? I'll tell you something about God's kids. They're not worried about having to go to Him and talk to Him about anything. Okay? I can testify to that myself. I know in every case, no matter what's happened, that I can go to my Heavenly Father and be real with Him and talk to Him and let Him know what's been going on. There's times when I know I've done wrong. I mean, I have messed up royal in a variety of areas, but I always know that I can go to Him and I can say, Father, I've messed up. I need Your help. And He'll listen to me and He'll help me. And here's the thing, even though I might dread going to Him, even though I might dread confessing all that, I know I can because He's approachable. And here's the key, I am always better off for having gone to Him. Let me say that again. Dads, listen to this and plug yourself into the role of the one that is being gone to. Moms, too. As the child of God, I know that I'm always better off because I went to Him. We want our kids to feel that way. Amen? Every time. Samuel Goldwyn, the founder of MGM Studios, once told an employee, I want you to tell me exactly what you think, even if it costs you your job. Did y'all hear that? Okay, that doesn't make anybody very, very approachable, does it? Won't you tell me exactly what you think, even if it costs me your job? That sort of statement doesn't make somebody particularly approachable. Most fathers in here probably think that their kids are pretty comfortable approaching them. You know, that I'm approachable. I mean, I know I am. He comes to me and asks for $5 every day. Obviously, I'm approachable. Approach me for money. Probably feel like our kids think that they can approach us. But according to a survey by 17 magazine, I can't believe I'm quoting that. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? But they did do a survey, and it's just math, so surely they didn't get that part wrong. According to a survey in 17 magazine, 4.1% of teenage girls in America felt that they could approach their fathers and discuss a serious problem. In other words, 96 out of 100 teenage girls do not feel that their father is approachable. That's serious. That's serious. That means there's some work to do. Another poll in USA Today indicated that when teens are under stress or in a crisis, they turn first to music. Was I ever that dumb? I got to ask my dad later on today. But anyway, the first place they turn to is music. The second place is their friends. And the third place is television. Mom, you came in 31st. 31. Dad, 48. Not really even on the board. So I got to ask myself, am I approachable? One of the things that I learned this week, and this is one of the more striking things to me, when a child hits adolescence, all right, when a child hits adolescence, he's going to make a major decision in life. He decides to do one of two things throughout his teenage years. Either he will go to his peers and together with his peers critique his parents, or he will go to his parents and together with his parents critique his peers. Now, which one do you want? Obviously, we want the second one. It makes the most sense. It gives the most guidance. Number two is obviously the answer. We want our children to come to us, together with us, evaluate the world, evaluate and critique their peers and everything that's going on. But if a child is going to come to his parents, he's got to feel, she's got to feel that they are approachable. All right? One that feels that their parents are approachable have a tremendous advantage. So what then makes a dad approachable to his kids? The first thing we need to know about what makes us approachable, and all this is in Ephesians. We do it more expositionally, but we'll do that later, I promise you. All right? Listen. This is what makes me approachable. Just listen. Listen to your wife. Listen to your kids. Listen to them carefully. It's a lost art. There's all kinds of college courses on speaking and writing and typing and all that. We don't get a lot of lessons on listening. Listen to them. President Franklin Roosevelt used to hold these long receiving lines at the White House, and he once said that they were so superficial that nobody really listened to each other, and nobody paid any attention to what anybody said. So one morning, he got up before doing one of these, and he decided he was going to put that to a test. True story. All right. So everybody came through in a line, he shook her hand, and he said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning. I murdered my grandmother this morning. I murdered my grandmother this morning." And person after person went through line and said, "Good to meet you, Mr. President. Keep up the good work, Mr. President. Well, you're awesome, Mr. President." Until one guy finally come through, it was Ambassador Bolivia, and he heard him, what he said. Okay, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." Ambassador Bolivia shook his hand, he bent over and he said, "I'm sure she had it coming, Mr. President." Simple key, just listen to your kids. All right, that's going to make you approachable. When you listen to your children, you are subconsciously telling them that they are important to you. And then that they are important to God. That they are important, period. There is nothing more encouraging to any child, whether a preschooler or a teenager, than to have the father's undivided attention when he or she is speaking to him. When your kids talk, look them squarely in the eye. Again, I don't care how old they are. If you've got toddlers, from time to time, get down on one knee, sit on the floor, and look them eye to eye. Listen to them at their level. You know what's going to happen at that point? They'll love you for it. Even better, they'll come back for more. This is echoed, this is explained, this is depicted in God's Word. David, writing about his heavenly Father, said in Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2, he said, "I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live." You see the lesson in that? When you know that someone is listening, when you know that someone is really listening to you, then you're going to be encouraged to keep communicating with that person. You're going to keep approaching them. And that's exactly what God wants us to do with Him. That's why He listens. It's exactly what we should want our kids to do with us. That's why we should listen. And while we're listening, next point, show some understanding. Show understanding to your wife and kids, okay? Wives and kids constantly feel misunderstood by their fathers, okay? And to the point that they're just not even going to bother approaching them, all right? They're going to find somebody else to talk to. We all know what it's like to feel misunderstood. It's happened to every single one of us at some point. It's a lousy way. It's a lousy experience. It's just no good for anything. But when people misunderstand you, they misread you. And when they continue to do so, you're just not going to have anything to do with them, all right? You're not going to have any desire to be around somebody who just absolutely can't show or explain that they understand you. Why waste your time? And your children are going to feel the same way. But when you have a dad who does show that understanding, right, when he shows at least that he wants to understand, the kids will go to him. Hold on the side just for a minute. Your children need to know that you understand their tears as well. Listen to those tears. You don't always need words, okay? Tears are communicating. A good dad knows how to understand, who interpret their meaning. Max Lucado said it best in one of his writings. He says, when words are most empty, tears are most appropriate. Now I know, guys, I'm with you. We're not very good at showing our feelings. We're not good at the whole emotional, flowery, softies type of stuff, okay? We're just not good at that. But I think we would all do well to take note as we're getting our guidance and our example, what it means to be a father from God. We would all be well off to take note of the tears of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane that the Bible talks about, and the tears of Jesus Christ on the cross. I mean, do those tears on his cheeks mean that he has no fire in his belly or no grit in his gut? Certainly not. He's a man's man. Here's the point. The tears aren't really the issue. It's what they represent. It's what they stand for. It's what they mean. They represent the very heart and spirit and soul of that person that wants to be understood. Children should not be allowed to whine. They shouldn't be allowed to show temper tantrums and pitch a fit, particularly in public. They just shouldn't be allowed to do that at all. But they should be allowed, when necessary, when applicable, to communicate to their dad through their tears and to believe that that's going to be understood. Again, we get our guidance on this from God's Word. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." The Lord does this, so as a dad, I need to do this. Make sure you're near when they're brokenhearted. And when their spirits get crushed, be quick to hold them, be quick to love them, be quick to comfort them, be quick to help them. Let me tell you something, that's a man's work. That's not mom's work, that's a man's work. That's God's work. It's what real men do for their children. Finally, if we're going to earn their trust, if we're going to be approachable, and we're going to listen, that we might show them who God is, be real with them. Just be real with them, okay? Nobody's perfect. You're not, I'm not, none of us are. We can't expect it to be. If we try to put on an air like we're perfect and we're never wrong, here's what's going to happen. They're going to see right through that. All right, and they're going to brand you as a hypocrite, and that's not going to work out. You are not Jesus, but you and I are expected to take on as much as we can His likeness, and that means honesty, and it means humility. Application. Listen to me very closely, fellas. Every now and then, it is necessary and a good idea to ask your own kids for them to forgive you. Talking about being real with them. I go to them and say, you know what? I was a little quick to anger about that. I didn't listen to you all the way through. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry that I didn't pay enough attention. Whatever the case may be, just get real with them and say, you know what? I apologize. I'm sorry. I asked that you would forgive me. You know what that is? That's real. And that's earning a lot of respect. That's a good idea. Other thing is, every now and then, go to your wife and ask her for her help. Ask her for her help in being the man that God wants you to be, the plan that He has for you to be, the man that God could say, you know, honey, I need you to help me with that. A lot of us might think, you know what, I'll lose my wife's respect if I go to her and ask her for help to be a man. You know what I found? It's just the absolute opposite. that you gain a lot of respect when you're willing to do that. I also want to encourage you to let your wife into the interior of your heart and life. Is there some part of you, some part of your life that you've locked her off from? Do you tend to act independently in some area? Let her in. I think she's probably going to be a lot more receptive and interested than you might think. A few other quick things. Protect them. Let them know that they're protected. Make sure that they feel protected. Honor them. All right? When they have accomplishments, recognize their accomplishments. One of the best books I ever read is about that thick. It was called The One-Minute Manager. And one of the tools in it, and it applies in so many areas of life, was just the one-minute praise. In other words, what he said to do was always a good idea. And boy, this really works. Is just catch somebody doing something right every now and then. You know what I'm saying? And go up to them, man, I really appreciate that. Man, that is really good. I acknowledge, you know what? Good job. Acknowledge your kids' accomplishments and pour some praise on them. Catch them doing something right every now and then. Speak to them with respect and extend common courtesies. Dad, there is nothing wrong. Matter of fact, there is everything right in your own home with using words like please and thank you. Nothing wrong with that. All of a sudden, you're going to be very approachable, and they're going to appreciate you. They're going to come to you, and they're going to trust you. And you will have shown them who God is. Last thing, real simple, four letters. You know what it is. Pray. Pray with them. Pray for them. Be seen praying by them. Pray for them when there's no way they will see you. Pray. Because not one of us is able to pull this off except by the grace of God. Except by the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, reunited us to the Father. And even more than that, He rose from the grave to live, and He lives inside of me. And because of His life, because He lives, and because He's in me, I can do things that I would never be able to do on my own. So pray, and God will empower you. Small number of people represented here this morning and in the earlier service can make a bigger difference than we can imagine. Amen? Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that we do have a great purpose. And that is to show our children whom we love just who You are. First of all, God, thank You for showing me. Thank You for showing us who You are. That we can rely on You no matter what. We can always count on You. God, thank You so much for always listening to us and letting us know that You care. Thank You, God, sometimes for disciplining us, punishing us so that we might learn and grow closer to You. Thank You, God, for being the perfect Heavenly Father. Lord, we need help showing that to the next generation. And we ask for that power by the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in us that was made possible by His new life. God, we pray for the next generation that You would help them to see You and that they would be drawn to You because You represent perfect love, perfect provision, perfect protection. You are our all in all. We pray that others might see it in Christ's precious name. Amen. One last thing I want to do, guys, before we have an invitation. See on the back of your bulletin this morning, it's called the Courageous Pledge for Fathers. Church down in Georgia that has a movie ministry, and they've made three or four of them, and the last one was Courageous. I strongly encourage you, if you are a dad, to see that movie. As a matter of fact, the church has got a copy. We showed it here to a large group, and we'll be glad to let you borrow it and watch it. It'll be very moving. It'll be very helpful to you. But as part of that, that church in their ministry wrote the Courageous Pledge for Fathers so that dads could pledge to be all that God created them to be. And I want to give us an opportunity this morning to take this together. Alright, I'm not going to ask you to come up here, but if you want to be who God created you to be, if you want to be the very best man that you can be, the very best father you can be, I'm just going to invite you to stand up with me this morning and take it with me, because we need to hold each other accountable, including myself, and take this courageous pledge with me this morning. I ask you to stand and take it with me, please, as I just repeat after me, any of you. I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay my life down for her, as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all of their hearts, all of their minds, and all of their strength. I will train them to honor authority and live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, be faithful to His church, obey His word, and do His will. I will courageously work with strength. Let's back up. The strength that God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You may be seated. Put this in this form. There's a date at the bottom, a little place to sign it if you would. You know what I'd encourage you to do? Sign that and then hand it to her, okay? And say, honey, I need you to help me with this. Keep me accountable to it. Put it on a refrigerator, frame it, whatever the case may be. Stick it in the family Bible. But this is who I want to be. This is the investment that I want to make, because God's Word promises that it'll pay off. That it cannot fail. That it'll result in absolutely the best thing ever. I believe that. Do you? I believe it's reliable. Nothing that I've said here this morning is all that complicated. Listen to your kids. Be approachable. Show them understanding. We know that. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to be refueled. Sometimes we need to be renewed and replenished. Sometimes we need that accountability. That's why we gather together, so that God can speak to us and through us and for His glory. Invest and watch it grow. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. Whatever God's laying on your heart, maybe there's one in our midst here this morning who's lost, who has never been forgiven, who hasn't given their life to Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't do this without Him. You can't show him God. You can't show her God unless you know God and God lives inside of you. It is not possible. It'll never work. You will have invested in something of this world, not something eternal. Well, that's something you can correct before we leave this room. You can give your life to Christ, and what He promises is He will pour out His Spirit on you and enable you to do things that you'll never do by yourself. I can testify. You make that investment, you'll never want for anything. He promises. I hope that you will as we stand and sing.